Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, marketing, pop culture, and women's basketball. Because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I'm Luz Corona, Adweek Community Editor, and today I am joined, as always, by Rebecca Stewart, Adweek's Europe Brand Editor. My friend, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm really excited that we have two Adweekers on the podcast today, but I feel like the subject matter is not one I'm super familiar with, so I'm going to learn a lot.
Yes, but I think that offers like a really nice fresh take, because you're going to be asking like really cute questions just about like women's basketball, and I'm going to learn with you because I'm pretending like I know what I'm talking about and I don't. Before we jump in and have our guest on, which you just heard as a teaser, two of our Adweek friends, let's talk about a little bit about the big announcement this week for Social Media Week, Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah, she's coming to Social Media Week in New York next month.
Yes, next month. It's the first week of April. And the urge to post on LinkedIn, marketing baddies stand up, is so strong. But I will remain professional and just keep it here.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. I'm so jealous that you're going to be there in person. And we also have to mention this month's cover, which has Rob McElhinney on the front. We've got a bit of a star-studded week, ad week here.
Yeah, Mac of all trades. He shared the article. It was written by our wonderful Bill Bradley. It's a really great piece. Everybody go check it out. And now, without further ado, we will bring on two very special Adweek colleagues who are just going to school us today on the state of women's basketball. But let's intro them first. Jason Noddy is here in person as Molly K. Helene. Friends, how are you?
Hello there.
I'm doing so well because I am sitting next to the one and only Jason Noddy.
Yes, this is a really special treat. So listeners, Jason Noddy, he's not based in New York. He's based in Portland, Jason?
Just outside of Portland.
Yeah. Jason pretty much moves us to tears every time he speaks on our team calls. He is really one of the most motivational, encouraging co-workers I think most of us have ever had. And we were all really hyped that he is in the office this week. And naturally, we had to do an episode that is near and dear to your hearts. Right, guys?
Well, I got to say, thank you for the introduction and a build up that is just going to result in a very flat podcast for me. You've doomed this from the very beginning.
Jason, when you and I talk about basketball, it is never flat or boring.
That is 100% true. And I can't thank you enough for doing this, because honestly, like between Molly's coverage, what I've been able to do here, can't thank Adweek enough for, you know, kind of realizing the value in not only women's basketball, but women's sports marketing in general. It's hard not to get hyped up about it. you see the growth in the sport. You see just the, you know, Molly talks about the Caitlin Clark effect to no end, but I mean, it's, she also was talking about before there was a Caitlin Clark effect. You know, it has far-reaching implications.
Yeah, it's not just the Caitlin Clark effect. It's the women's basketball effect, right? And it's been here. But now that it's actually being put on TV and people are able to access it, everyone else is seeing what you and I have already known. It's great.
And it's the ways in which people can access it now, too. Out in Portland, there's a bar, the Sports Bra, run by Jenny Nguyen, which has given birth to other sports bars like Rough and Tumble Up in Seattle or Althea's here in New York. And you're just seeing a proliferation of areas where there wasn't really space to watch women's sports, where you would, you know, my wife is a collegiate softball player, and every year we watch the Women's College Softball World Series together. And every year she has to go in somewhere and ask somebody to put it on, despite the fact that on ESPN it is one of the fastest growing audiences in collegiate sports. So to kind of see the momentum behind women's college basketball and how it's able to lift all boats is really inspiring. But seeing the brands get behind it is interesting in its own right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will just say women's college softball, that World Series gets more viewership than the college baseball World Series.
Oh, boom. We'd love to see it.
Consistently.
You always have a good stat, Molly. And Jason, you mentioned the Caitlin Clark effect. And of course, I'm in the UK. So I want to rewind a little bit here because I've seen like the memes. I've seen the Nike ads. I've been like following the story a little bit. But what is the Caitlin Clark effect? Molly, can you talk us through it? And maybe we can start from there.
Yeah, so Caitlin Clark is a senior at Iowa. She is an absolute superstar basketball player, one of many, but she's the kind of the face of basketball right now, men's and women's. She, anywhere she goes, she sells out arenas. Iowa has set the basketball attendance record at pretty much any place they've gone to. It also brings in a ton of revenue for any city. So, for instance, in a non-conference game against Virginia Tech, another ranked team in North Carolina, where neither team is from, the two teams played each other and they set the attendance record for a women's college basketball game in North Carolina and also brought in an estimated $10 million in revenue to Charlotte.
Wow.
So it's been written about in the New York Times, The Athletic, Front Office Sports, Sportico, Sports Business Journal, all of them. They're calling it Clarkonomics. Like, I actually...
Yeah. Move over, yeah. Taylor.
No, literally. It's being compared to the Taylor Swift effect. Like, I actually went to the Northwestern Iowa game at Northwestern... which, if you haven't heard, I am an alumni of Northwestern, a very proud one. I bring it up only once a day. but I actually took my parents to the Northwestern Iowa game in January when she was chasing the NCAA record. And it was the first time Welsh Ryan Arena had ever sold out for a women's game. And fans were lined up around the block for 4 hours before the game. And that's happening everywhere. And then, Jason, like, do you have anything to add on it?
Well, it's also not happening in a bubble. It's not like it's the sideshow that's happening within the sport either. You're at this period within women's basketball where there's this tremendous number of superstar players. You have Cameron Brink. You have, Angel Reese, who was just on Adweek's cover a couple of months ago. You have great coaches like Dawn Staley. President of the sport. It's kind of at its highest profile, and it's incredibly competitive to the point where me and Molly are looking at the brackets going into the regionals and being like, oh man, there are like four or five teams that could take this bracket in the East. And in the West, it's just been thrown into chaos because Iowa's not in it. So
yeah, I was heading to the East bracket, which I'll be in Albany. Jason will be in Portland. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have full coverage from us.
Amazing.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now, peeps, I wanted to kind of paint a picture, too, because the Caitlin Clark effect, I mean, that's made its way onto even my feeds. And I'm not, like, at best, I follow the Knicks. Like, that's where I'm at, you know. Tell us, why this year do you think it's so explosive? Does it have to do with the Caitlin Clark effect? Are brands finally starting to notice, you know, women's basketball? Like, what makes this year, the viewership numbers and everything, why this year versus other years?
Jason, can I start?
Oh, absolutely. Never ask for permission. Just step up and take it.
Ask Hell for yeah. forgiveness.
Hell yeah. Well, I think, I mean, this year it's getting in the, like, the major, major mainstream, but I think to track it, you have to take it back a couple years. Women's basketball has been suppressed. It wasn't part of the NCAA until, I think, the mid-70s. It wasn't recognized, which is why when Caitlin Clark broke the all-time NCAA women's scoring record set by Kelsey Plum, it's not actually the all-time women's scoring record. That was set before the NCAA existed. So women's basketball has been suppressed. It hasn't been on TV. It hasn't had the media rights. It hasn't had kind of the attention it deserved. I mean, when you think about it, it wasn't until 2022 that the women's tournament was even allowed to use March Madness branding.
Wow.
It was the
wow.
women's Final Four and men's March Madness.
Wow.
So with that, like, brands weren't super attracted to it because you couldn't market it as March Madness. You weren't in March Madness. You were in the women's basketball tournament. So when that changed in 2022, there was a renewed brand interest in that. And then ESPN began putting the games – they made them more accessible. ESPN has the tournament rights to it. So, for instance, last year was the first time the final was ever on ABC. And this game aired at 3 p.m. on a Sunday, and it drew 9.9 million viewers. It was between LSU and Iowa. So that, I think, was a big tipping point for basketball, but it was an effect that had started. I mean, Caitlin Clark was a big player last year, and, like, everyone saw the Caitlin Clark-Angel Reed quote-unquote feud. It wasn't. They get along well. Like, they're just rivals.
Right.
But so this year, Caitlin Clark was chasing the all-time record, and it was similar to what happened with Steph Curry. People are following it. People are paying attention. So when the network saw the viewership starting to go up, they started moving the game. So, for instance, regular Big Ten, which I was part of, Fox and Big Ten Network own most of the rights to that. NBC has some of the other ones. They started moving the games from Fox. Like, they put them from FS1 onto Fox. And guess what? They set records. I've actually got some stats right here.
Give it to us.
So, yeah, you know I love my stats. Women's regular season basketball, not just Iowa, but women's regular season on Fox and FS1 was the most watched season ever. It averaged 436,000 viewers. That's up 66% from last year alone. Wow. And guess what? It is higher than the men's regular season.
Let's go.
Combined on Fox and FS1, the men's also had their most watched season ever, but it was 346,000 viewers. So the women are averaging almost 100,000 more.
Wow.
And so I think... Yeah, so I think it's also, and Jason can definitely jump in on this too because he talks to brands more than I do, but it's a huge opportunity for brands.
And this is where it's consistent, where you see growth in men's sport, but it's growth by a smaller percentage. There's not nearly as much room for brands to grow. There's not really as much room or as much opportunity for them to reach a growing segment of viewers, to reach a growing segment of the public. Where you see it in women's sports, it's places where brands haven't particularly been. Molly had a great story last year around March Madness where she talked to the CMO of Aflac. And Aflac talked about how they were making a concerted effort for the next year – to get more invested in women's sports, to show up, to, you know, put more money in, to be more visible in women's sports. And they're showing it. And here we are a year later. They're showing up at the regionals. We're going to have a conversation with them again this year. They're putting the money behind it. And they're going, the phrase we're hearing from brands more often and from most multiples is 50-50, where you have Visa going straight out. And it's like, we want to do 50-50 investment in women's and men's soccer. You have Ally saying, you know, we want to do 50-50 investment. We want equity. We want parity. So it's interesting to see how brands are doing this and doing it by elevating their investment in the women's game.
Well, and I think that's super interesting, too, because it's just smart business, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, it's a whole separate problem that it's much cheaper to invest in women's sports than men's. But it's also – it's just smart business. It is so much cheaper to invest in – like, do a media buy in the women's tournament than the men's. But, I mean, put me on the record. I think the women's tournament is going to outperform the men's in viewership this year.
We'll see.
It will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's so much cheaper for a brand to get that media buy, and you're getting the same amount of viewership. It's mm-hmm. – and I'm –
And the thing is, cheapness is a problem that doesn't last. Once brand sense that bargain is in the air, you're going to see more of them diving at it. And I think we're starting to see that. Even in the professional realm as well. You've done a lot of great reporting on the W. It's funny, like, going and doing what you think is a story on the NBA All-Star Game, and you start talking to the brands, and it turns out to be a story about WNBA marketing, because that's how they view it. They're like, yes, we do these activations. A story I just wrote about NBA All-Star marketing. For many brands, it's the start of their marketing year, but they view it as a opportunity to get invested in the WNBA, to extend their year out so it fills out the calendar year, and to reach this entirely different audience that they would never be reaching if they were aiming for the NBA alone.
Mm-hmm. And the W seeing similar growth to the college game. I mean, there's this misconception, and it drives me absolutely insane, that female or women college players need to stay in college for the extra year to, quote, make money, especially with the advent of NIL, because the pay disparity between the NBA and the WNBA is massive. But that part is true. But the fact that the idea that they need to stay in college to make money is ridiculous, because those brand deals are coming with them. Like, you bet Caitlin Clark is taking Nike, Gatorade, and State Farm with her to the W. Right. Cameron Brink just declared for the draft. Those deals are going with her. I mean, Angel Reese, that girl's worth $2 million in NIL. That's not disappearing just because she's heading to likely heading to the WNBA. She has not declared yet.
No.
Sorry, quick question. So does that mean – so people seem to think that these big brands are going to – or, like, there's this misconception that brands will drop these women athletes, like, in college as soon as they leave college and go to WNBA?
Yep. If you spend 5 minutes on the cesspool that's Twitter, that is, like, you have, like, big sports journalists, male journalists, that are saying this, and it's wrong.
And the I think the other misconception is that once you leave the collegiate ranks, that there's no support for women's sports. And once again, the W keeps proving this false. You look at the last season of the WNBA. You look at how it finished out with the Liberty and the Aces. You look at the Liberty and the Aces and how they're investing in both of their teams and how they're building a new structure for investment in WNBA teams. You look at what Sabrina Ionescu was able to do at the All-Star Game this year, or at the men's All-Star Game this year, being in a three-point competition with Steph Curry, almost beating Steph Curry, by the way. Would have beat Damian Lillard had Damian Lillard been competing in that competition. Mm.
If she competed in the regular men's All-Star three-point shot, she would have won it.
She would have won it. But that's – is that neither here nor there? No, it's very relevant because there is that opportunity there. The professional opportunity is there. It's as big a part of the Caitlin Clark effect as anything else. The Caitlin Clark effect is – her coming out is a huge part of it. It's illustrating the opportunities that are there for women's players.
Yeah, and the Caitlin Clark effect, just Caitlin Clark is already translating into the W. Like, she's – I mean, 99.999% going to Indiana. They've got the number one draft pick, and she's from the Midwest. season ticket prices for Indiana Fever have tripled since Caitlin announced she was going to the draft.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild. So, sorry, I have a question. Bex, sorry, I'm jumping. I have so many questions.
Okay. We hopefully have answers. Yeah.
So I think bringing it back, like, for our listeners, like, clearly there's so much going on here. It's only going to keep growing. And we've seen some brands showing up. So I'd love to hear from you guys on the brand. You already mentioned, like, Nike and a few of the other ones that you showed me that cool ad by Nike, Molly, when Caitlin Clark broke that record.
Like, it was never a long shot.
Oh, my gosh. So great. And it was an out-of-home. We'll post the link to it. But what are the brands showing up now? And what should the brands considering to play in this space, like, what should they know? Like, how can they authentically take a shot? how can they authentically show up and support, like, women's basketball?
I mean, I think you have to start with, Jason mentioned it, but Ally Financial is setting the example. They're setting the bar. They've got their 50-50 media pledge where they want to invest 50% in women, 50% in men's sports, and they're not taking additional money to put into women's, they are moving it. And other brands are taking notice. I mean, Ally just did a deal with the Aces, which is a huge investment in women's basketball. But, I mean, Jason's had conversations with brands that are looking at what Ally's doing.
And that's exactly it. I think I mentioned before, brands in the payment space, you look at what Visa does in women's soccer, and that's it. They're taking that page where they want to do a 50-50 investment. What State Farm has been doing.
State Farm's huge.
Yeah, getting more involved. Home Depot just announced the investment in the NCAA with an eye toward women's sports just today. So you're starting to see a little bit. The model is out there. And you got to give Andrea Brimmer a lot of credit over there at Ally because she's shown exactly what you can do if you create the blueprint and show that, you know, if you put the money out there equally, if you show that you can invest in sports equally, you create a more equitable situation. The teams will follow. The leagues will follow. Broadcasters will follow.
So many flowers for Andrea. I don't think we can give her enough bouquets. Mm. I mean, an Ally's got their fingers in pretty much
everything
sport.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, last year they did a massive deal with Disney and ESPN for a media rights deal that got a lot more women's sports on SportsCenter. They're the official sponsor of the ACC. So if you watched the women's basketball tournament, it was the Ally tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, they're huge in soccer. They just did a golf deal. Like,
Ally is the brand that I associate the most with women's sports, like, besides Nike and everything. But Molly, you've done some great coverage with Ally and women's soccer when World Cup was going on. So they definitely walk the walk, I feel.
One of the things that I found interesting when I was kind of reading about this and reading about the WBA was that a lot of beauty brands have kind of come to the court. So, like, Skims, Glossier, Skims obviously isn't a beauty brand, but, like, female-focused fashion and beauty brands have kind of come to the court. So Skims, Glossier, NYX, among others. And the route that they've taken has been first to, like, work with the athletes as ambassadors, and then they've signed on as sponsors, like, once they've seen the results for that. And this is interesting because in the Super Bowl, we're seeing a lot more beauty brands advertising, and it's almost just, like, female-focused brands are waking up to the fact that women are watching sport. I just wondered if you guys had any thoughts on that.
Well, it's funny. The NFL will go out of its way to tell you every year, ask Marissa Solis at the NFL, every year it's a 50-50 split for their fan base, men and women watching the sport. And they've been trying to tell advertisers this for years, and it seems like everybody's just catching on. I don't necessarily see that as a women's sports issue. I'd see that as brands catching up into sports marketing in general.
Yeah, 47% of NFL fans are women.
Yeah.
What?
Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
What? That is brand new information.
We watch football too.
I think it's so interesting what you guys are saying. Brand, it's not that women's basketball is just starting to happen now. It's that brands are finally taking note that women watch sports.
It's just good business.
It's good business.
Before we start wrapping these things up, I want you to hit them with the CBS numbers for a quick second.
Give it to us.
I got those CBS numbers. You know I always have my numbers.
And CBS is where most of these – can you give us a little context there? It's where most of the games are played?
No, actually. So ESPN – I mean, the rights are kind of spread across all the networks, but CBS had the rights to the Big Ten championship. And they didn't really have a lot of regular season games. But so the Big Ten championship was Iowa versus Nebraska. It was a phenomenal game, actually. It went into overtime. But it was the – it averaged – okay, are you ready for this? It averaged more than 3 million viewers and peaked with 4.45 million viewers in overtime. So it was the most watched women's college basketball game on CBS in 25 years. Wow. And was also the most watched basketball game of the day on any network. And that includes the NBA, that includes college men's, all of that.
Wow. And these are the headlines we're not really seeing, but it's there. The numbers are there.
And also, this game was at 11 a.m. Central Time, the day after daylight savings. Imagine if you put that in prime time.
Wow. I just envision, like, the TVs at bars just going on, like, everyone flipping to the channel, especially since you said it peaked during overtime when the game was super intense.
Oh, I bet it did. I mean, I bet it. I watched it at home with a couple friends, but I bet it went on in bars. I was actually so excited because I met a couple friends for drinks on Saturday at like 5 o'clock, just at this sports bar we go to in Brooklyn. And I walked in wearing my Caitlin Clark shirt because I love Iowa, but I also it's the Nike shirt.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it's the campaign that you break it, you own it. So I bought that because honestly, good marketing, Nike. You everything's an ad.
Their copy
marketing works. Who knew?
Yes. Marketing works. But I walked into this sports bar that's primarily a men's soccer bar, and 3 of the 6 TVs had the Iowa game on.
Amazing.
And I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
So imagine, if you will, that the NCAA or, you know, women's college basketball has a Julie Haddon, has a CMO that can do all of these things, that can say, okay, we just had this Big Ten championship that had more viewers than, any game of the Stanley Cup Finals, that had more viewers than any game of the Major League Baseball Wild Card Series, that had more viewers than certain games of some World Series within the last 5 years.
More than NASCAR, more than Formula One.
More than NASCAR, or more than Formula One. How do you think brands would react to college basketball, knowing all of that information?
Listen, I'm not a brand, but I would buy.
Yeah.
Rebecca, you brought up a really good point, and I'm going to make you say it because we were talking on the side here and you found a really cool stat, and I would love to pick these guys' brains about what you just found, and then we could probably wrap it up because we could be here all day and Jason's only here for a limited amount of time.
You'll find Jason and I in the corner for the rest of the day just talking about basketball.
Yeah, they're doing a live Q&A on X after this episode. So the stat that I found, I was just thinking about like the players as ambassadors themselves, and we're like living in a time where every brand wants to kind of engage with like authentic creators that can tell their brand story. And the WNBA said in an interview that 80% of the 144 athletes in the WNBA are women of color, and many of the players identify as LGBTQ+. And I just thought that was really interesting because, you know, they were saying when these people are out there in the marketplace, they're kind of representing their authentic self and they can amplify the voices of similar consumers. So that makes the league a good kind of brand for, like, there's a diverse range of storytellers within the game itself, a diverse range of brand ambassadors. So this is really something that brands should be kind of investing in for that reason alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this could be an entire separate podcast about the marketing of the WNBA and its history. But when the league started, it initially was marketing itself as a very family friendly, like, bring your young daughters to the league. And it was actually, there's a couple really good documentaries about this, that like players were not encouraged to not come out, LGBT players were not marketed. And that was a problem that lasted for a while. The league's gotten a lot better about it now and it recognizes it. But players within the league, like Kelsey Plum, who's a very traditionally beautiful straight white girl, self-identified straight white girl. I'm not putting labels on anybody. But, like, she's called out the league for marketing her front and center and not marketing her very talented teammates and other players of color. The league, I will say, has gotten significantly better about it in the last few years. But, I mean, Adweek's cover, I think it was about a year ago, it was a joint cover between Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles, two of the best players in WNBA history. I actually wrote the story. It's one of my favorites I've ever done for Adweek. But I looked at the difference between how those two players were approached by brand deals and marketed by the league. And they were both super candid with me, probably because they had both just retired. But Syl wasn't getting the brand deals that Sue was.
Wow.
And she recognized it. And Sue called it out and said it was definitely due to racism. And actually, since that story, I'm not going to say it was like my doing or anything, but just to show how it's progressed, you've seen Sylvia Fowles in like Deloitte ads and further campaigns. And it's been every time she comes up on my TV, I'm like, you go. Like, hell yeah.
Yes.
And then, Jason, if you've got anything to add.
I don't know that I do. Honestly, your story with Syl and Sue was tremendous. And it's hearing Sylvia Fowles, one of the greatest to ever play the sport, men or women's, talk about, you know, listen, do what you want to do after retirement, but talking about, like, how she was going to go into funeral services, basically run a funeral home, because, like, she didn't see the opportunities out there for her. You have to be kidding me.
Wow.
Like, you can't create the opportunities for Sylvia Fowles in that space that she has to, like, that's the opportunity she feels is out there for her? No. Like, I very glad that I have no doubt that your story created an impact that you know, at least made somebody realize, yeah, that's messed up. And, you know, I'm very glad that, you know, Deloitte and other brands have realized, yeah, there's a legend right here. And it's a legend that, you know, a ton of people recognize, even if people in your C-suite don't.
That's crazy. Also, is funeral homes, like, is that a lucrative business? Like, should I consider that for retirement?
Well, it's never going to go out of business, are you?
People don't care. Yeah, she's getting her degree in mortuary science. She's very happy with it.
Wow, mm-hmm. That is fascinating. I mean, that is a whole other science. Yeah, people go to school for that. Well, I'm going to have to go check out that article again. All right. Well, friends, my goodness, I feel like you schooled us in this current mm-hmm. state of women's basketball and just the space that brands are playing in and everything. And so I thank you both and for educating Rebecca and I.
Anytime.
Thank you,
this
guys.
Was a blast.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you. And a guest appearance from Jason Noddy. But we will be sure to link to all the wonderful pieces that we just discussed. Go Women's Sports. And thank you, listeners. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.